Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
What this movie is saying is that women like being hurt and like being used, and that you as a man are entitled to use women. I just can't think of a worse thing to be teaching our young men.
The fallen world sniffs out this alien smell of the resurrection on you and will seek to stamp it out. It recognizes it for the threat that it is. The principle of this world is death.
If salvation is my personal relationship with Jesus, it makes our problem somehow having an emotional or personal distance from God. So it completely takes the idea of sin out of the question.
While snow blowing our driveways, hardy Minnesotans love to listen to Issues, etc.
This strikes me as something that would be kind of difficult to explain to a Sunday school room full of children. They're told to behave, to keep their temper when they lose their temper, or when they, as we used to say, when they throw a fit. They generally get disciplined for it. That kind of behavior is considered to be wrong for kids. And to actually do something like Jesus does when he cleanses the temple, to take up a whip of cords, to fashion one, and then to drive out the money changers and their animals, and to overturn their tables there in the temple confines. Well, Jesus must have had a really, really good reason for doing this, because ordinarily that kind of behavior is discouraged. How is it that the sinless Son of God, who is righteous in everything he does this in John's gospel there in the second chapter near the beginning of that gospel? Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about that very cleansing of the temple in John's gospel as we teach a Sunday school lesson, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Tom, how do you explain this to a room full of Sunday school children, Jesus' behavior here?
I would explain it by indicating that normally Jesus does use words, and for the most part, he doesn't use his power or does not become violent. However, this is an occasion when the temple is being desecrated, and it can be defended by his forceful removal. For example, if even in our congregation today, somebody came in to rob the people, it would not be a sin if the pastor jumped on that person and punched them and knocked them out. And the people would say, "Oh, pastor, I thought you were supposed to forgive sins." No, in this situation, force would be needed. So even a pastor is permitted to use force under certain circumstances in a worship service. This was a situation where these people were misusing the place that God had set apart for worship, and therefore Jesus' anger and his force was not only necessary, but it was a way of defending his father and, by the way, his neighbor.
Okay, so what's the context for this event? It happens early in John's gospel. The other gospels have it occurring rather late, in fact, in the last week of Jesus' life before his crucifixion and resurrection. What's the context in John's gospel?
In this context, it is during the Passover is being celebrated in Jerusalem. And we need to remember that this was not only a remembrance of the Israelites' deliverance from Egypt, but also it was the means by which the Lord delivered them. He told them to slay a lamb, eat the meat, cover their doorposts with its blood, and then he passed over, the angel of death, passed over, that's where we get Passover, those households not slaying the firstborn. In other words, the Passover actually anticipates the sacrifice of Jesus. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 6, and 7. Paul is speaking out against the Corinthian church because they're allowing a man to live with his father's wife. And he says, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you are really are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. So, connecting therefore the cross with this, Jesus is therefore quite in his right to use force to cleanse the temple.
Okay, so what is he actually doing here? Well, let's start with this. What are the money changers and the sellers of animals and all of that, what are they doing there?
The fact is that many of the pilgrims came from afar, and they would not be taking with them the appropriate animal to be sacrificed, a lamb, etc. So when they got there, they would purchase, but they were not allowed to purchase with Roman money, so they had to have their money changed into temple kind of money that would be appropriate. And therefore, it was the changing of money and the buying of animals on the part of the pilgrims that necessitated the religious leaders in their thinking to actually do this within the temple itself.
He says some things as he does this. He drives out the money changers with all of their animals. He pours over the coins and the money changers overturns their tables. And then he says to those who are selling the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. What's he talking about?
He's actually quoting the Old Testament. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 11, has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your eyes? Behold, I myself have seen it, declares the Lord. And while John doesn't use that exactly, Mark does. As he was teaching them and saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers. And therefore, I also think that it's a den of robbers, not only because they're really charging extra for the animals, but the other thing is that people are thinking that they're getting their sins forgiven by means of animals. And Hebrews makes it very clear that the ceremonial laws did not forgive sins.
And the temple, explain to us in a simple way what the role of the temple overall is, because it's going to come into play with the rest of this conversation. What was the temple for first century Jews?
For them, this is where God was to be worshipped. They had a Holy of Holies, which only the high priest could enter once a year. And then there was an inner court, and that would be for Jewish men. But then there was this outer court, which primarily was for Gentiles, and it was in this outer court that they were doing this trade and merchandise. Can you imagine? I don't have any problems with, say, a ladies' aid in a congregation doing a sale of some nature of clothing, etc., for the poor. But can you imagine it occurring during the worship service in the sanctuary? So at the front part, there are people trying to worship, and in the back pews, they're selling clothing, etc. That's what Jesus was confronting when he entered into this place.
And it says, just kind of interjects there parenthetically, his disciples remembered what was written, zeal for your house will consume me. Where is this written, and why does that particular Bible passage strike the disciples when they see Jesus cleansing the temple in John's second chapter?
It's written in Exodus. Zeal is an angry love or a jealous love. His anger does not arise from hatred. It actually springs from love toward God. So when Jesus quotes this, the disciples are remembering it later on when they after the resurrection. Remember, all things are brought back to their understanding. And this passage itself was a reminder to them. I believe, wasn't that in Psalm 69?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it's
yes.
Yeah, Psalm 69, if I'm not mistaken, the right. Ninth verse there.
Yes.
So they're remembering something that is, they kind of make this connection between Jesus' righteous anger here over the temple and what is written there in that psalm. That's the connection they're making?
Yes, because the psalm says, "For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." Now, I truly believe that even though these are psalms of David, they're also psalms of our Lord himself. Psalm 23 was his favorite psalm, it seems. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But therefore, this is Jesus speaking, that great zeal for the house of God has consumed him, which means it's a jealous love. It would be like the kind of zeal that maybe a child would have for a pet, and somebody makes fun of their pet, and they don't like that. And it's because of the zeal that they have for their pet. They don't care what the pet looks like. It's a friend of theirs. And Jesus is obviously overcome by the fact that his Father's house is being desecrated in the way that it is.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, some more conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. You will find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're in John chapter 2, teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus clearing the temple. When we get back, the response of them and what Jesus has to say, they ask, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" What are they demanding of Jesus? We'll be right back. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism giant poster.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How would you like to attend a conference and hear Paul Meyer, Molly Ziegler-Hemingway, David Menton, Chris Rosebrough, Jonathan Fisk, and Will Wheaton? You're invited to the 2015 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Clearing the Temple in John chapter 2. Tom, they demand a sign from him. Now, I'm not really sure why they do this. I mean, they're obviously outraged at what Jesus has done by clearing the temple. But the Jews say to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" What exactly are they demanding of him?
Scripture interprets Scripture. So what we need to do is find another place in Scripture that's more clear as to why they are demanding the sign. And that can be Matthew 21, verse 23. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people come up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" So when they're asking for a sign, they're actually asking for a way in which he can prove that he has the authority, the right, maybe a miracle, etc. Well, Jesus gives them a sign. And he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." This, by the way, was one of the accusations used against Jesus before Pontius Pilate, because they thought he was talking about the temple, that he would destroy it and raise it up. And they say, no, it took 46 years to build this temple. But then John, in verse 21, makes it very clear, but he was talking about the temple of his body. And therefore, he's talking about the time between the crucifixion and the resurrection, 3 days, and he will be raised from the dead.
So he permits them that there will be a sign, and he connects it. And it's kind of interesting that this is the beginning of his ministry in John's gospel. He connects it directly to what will happen when he is when he enters Jerusalem the last time.
Yes, the Passover is the occasion when he gives his body and blood. It's called the Last Supper. And, of course, right after that, it's Gethsemane and then Golgotha after Pontius Pilate. In other words, he is tying all these events together as fulfillment of the prophecies from the Old Testament that he would die for the sins of the people by being pierced in hands and feet. And the disciples remembered this, it says, after he had been raised from the dead. It's really interesting. It doesn't say they believed Jesus. The verse instead, verse 22, says, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken, which is a great insight as to how we convert people today by speaking the word from scripture.
So already John is, at least in two places here in this short account, telling us how the disciples will later, by as you said, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, understand and remember these things.
Yes. And he even says that all these things will be brought back to your remembrance by the Holy Spirit. I once did a somewhat complicated Bible study, and one of the members said, "Pastor, I'm not going to remember all that." And I said, "No, but the parts that are necessary to be remembered will be brought back to your remembrance whenever you get into a situation where they will be helpful." I remember so much theology that I was taught at the seminary, but I can't remember who taught me all the time. But that's not what is necessary. What is necessary is to remember the word, because it is there to comfort you in times of need.
So if Jesus is saying, in essence, that his body is now the temple, that will be torn down and rebuilt in his death and resurrection, then what is he saying about the temple in which they're standing right then?
If you'll recall, at the crucifixion, the curtain in the temple is divided. And it's a shocking thing because people think, well, now I can enter into the Holy of Holies. No, it is that God left the temple as he had done. It says the Holy Spirit left the temple during the Babylonian captivity. And so when that occurred, God went up on a mountain, it said. Now, where is God today? Well, the temple of God, and this is most important for the children, is Jesus. To go to Jesus is to now go to the temple of God. And in baptism, the Holy Spirit enters into you, and so your own body is also considered a temple. In other words, what the scripture is trying to say is in hearing the word of God, in receiving the sacraments, you are now with God. The church should not be considered a place or a building. It's rather where two or three are gathered in his name. And being gathered in his name means that Jesus is with us. So we don't have to go to some location to find Jesus. We can worship in our homes. It's most helpful to worship in a sanctuary because then proper liturgy hopefully is used, a sermon is used to help you again be comforted, and of course the Sunday school lesson is meant for the comfort of the children so that they know that God is always with them and that the temple of God actually resides within them.
Finally then, Tom, how would you briefly describe the law and gospel of this account in John chapter 2 of Jesus cleansing the temple?
Since Jesus is now the temple, when I do not worship or I worship inappropriately, that is sin. Some people will say, I've got more important things to do on Sunday morning, or for one reason or another, they don't want to go to church during the week. The gospel is Jesus is my holy temple. And as I come to an understanding that what I'm doing is sin and repent of it, he cleanses me. He forgives my sin. So the law is the demand that we need to worship. And the gospel is the fact that God helps us to do that through Jesus, our holy temple. We no longer need to have to do something to get God to be right with us. He is right with us, and he already is reconciled to us because of Jesus, the temple of God, that was crucified in order that I might be cleansed of my sin and receive from him wonderful benefits in worship and Bible study.
Folks, speaking of Sunday school, Concordia Publishing House has a great Sunday school curriculum. It's been out for several years now. It's really proven itself through the test of time to be what I've called many times both Christ-centered and cross-focused, bringing the Sunday school lessons, many of them the typical ones, some of them not so typical, into the focus of the central message of Holy Scripture, that is Christ and his saving work for sinners. Find out more about Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and they'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus walking on the water in Matthew chapter 14. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Jesus comes to replace the temple, and he comes to replace everything in the temple. He has come to fulfill it. That is, he has come to be the presence of God among his people and the sacrifice for all sins, the one and the last sacrifice made by God himself of his Son for the sins of the world. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
God, and thanks for everything you do.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on the value of issues, etc.
You've done so much to teach so many people about the depth of the gospel and to find joy in the Christian life and experience.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, Issues, etc. Listen to what you want, when you want, at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
You can teach laypeople theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.